focus. I was in schools every other day, and not for tea parties and not announced. I went into classrooms and I looked.
What is the same, you know, running a small district and running a large district?
What happens in the classroom? A board of education, a leader, the CEO of a school district, needs to manage by walking around. You need to know what is happening. You need to see if there is an interactive instructional program going on in the classroom, or is somebody standing in front of the classroom, screwing off the head of kids, pouring in information, and a week later asking them to regurgitate it back. Is there a discussion?
But let me ask you, you know, it seems like, because you're talking about seeing and you're talking about being very focused and it sounds like very hands-on. Is that more difficult to do in a larger district? Because there's
No, it's easier.
How is it easier?
Well, because you have more people in a larger district to do all of the other things in a smaller district. There are not as many worker bees to help you. I think a larger district is easier. We use size, ethnicity, poverty, all as excuses why children and their families are not engaged. Do I think those are issues? Yes. But they're not excuses.
Right now, you know, we have residents in the county who, you know, used to be a part of this small school district, relatively. It was like 46,000 students. And they scored much better than the Memphis district on all the test scores.
Because they didn't have all the poverty either. You see, you have to call it the way it is. People are afraid of what they don't know. One of the things that I think you have to pay attention to is not lowering standards. I think that the mistake that we made, and I certainly made, you know those families or those kids. And I think that we need to start establishing high standards for all children at the early years in early education.
When you look across the country and not just Memphis, you do see that poor kids and minority kids do not fare as well in public education as, you know, their middle class and white counterparts.
Yes, and that's not the kids' fault. Students learn what they're taught. We sometimes forget that.
And so do you think it's possible? Right now, we're looking at merging one district, which is 85% black, 87% economically disadvantaged.
Yes.
With another district, which has, you know, a lot more middle class kids. Do you think it's possible to form, you know, a large merged district that works for everybody in the district?
It's not easy. Do I think it's possible? Yes. One of the things I did in New York when they told me that parents weren't interested in their kids, I held town meetings, 40 of them, my first year, and I went to their communities. Did I feel comfortable doing that? The answer is no. You're not going to be successful in merging the school district, in either school district, doing the same old, same old.
After you did that, you know, how do you sort of teach maybe teachers or other administrators to follow that example in their jobs?
Well, whoever monitors the principals needs to make sure that happens. I can tell you that in New York City, I came upon, in high schools, classes that were out of control. And I would go in and tell the teacher to go get coffee. And I would take the class. Many times, the class, I could settle it down. I didn't always. But I proved a point that there isn't a hierarchy. You see, one of the things that, and that's what I mean when we get caught up in the trappings, we forget we're all teachers. Custodians are teachers. Cafeteria workers are teachers. Office workers are teachers. There is a learning moment for children and their families when they come in contact with all of the people of a school, and we have to take advantage of that.
Well, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Oh, not a problem. You can call me.